Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this pre-recorded program, Very Mot. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Tuesday, February 1st, 2022. Diplomats from the Intergovernmental Authority on Development visit Sudan.
While we are seeing the challenges that the people of Sudan, our brothers and sisters, facing, even if we have challenges in other parts of the region, we have to jump in and work with different actors in Sudan.
And authorities in Jonglei State say families displaced by recent violence need help.
The vulnerable people, the women and the young kids, children and all that, they have moved to Botown and they are here to find a place to settle.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A delegation from the Intergovernmental Authority for Development, or IGAD, is in Khartoum to meet with Sudanese leaders in the government and civil society. The IGAD executive secretary says they are in Sudan to meet with various political and civilian actors to find ways to resolve the political crisis in the country. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The IGAD delegation arrived in the Sudanese capital Khartoum over the weekend and met with the head of Sudan Sovereign Council, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Monday. IGAD Executive Secretary General Rokne Gebeyehu says the delegation listened to a briefing from al-Burhan about IGAD's role in resolving conflicts in the region. Gebeyehu says IGAD supports the Sudanese people during this difficult time, noting that the delegation intends to speak with various local groups and parties about ways to resolve the political crisis.
Sudan is our member state. More than that, the chairman of IGAD. While we are seeing the challenges that the people of Sudan, our brothers and sisters, facing, even if we have challenges in other parts of the region, we have to jump in and work with different actors in Sudan to curb the situation that is going on here in Sudan.
The IGAD economic bloc brings together Ethiopia, Djibouti, Somalia, Sudan, Eritrea, South Sudan, Kenya, and Uganda. Former Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok has been chairman of IGAD since November 2019. Gebeyehu says IGAD will consult with all the stakeholders and partners in Sudan and push forward any peaceful process to bring about stability in Sudan.
We cannot sit idle that the people of Sudan, our brothers and sisters, are in challenge in this area. A lot of economic challenge and challenge of peace and security. So IGAD is determined to play a key role on this peace process. We just also discuss this issue with other partners, and we bring all the efforts. We don't want to duplicate the efforts, but this is the time to stand with the people of Sudan.
Gebeyehu told Sudanese leaders, "We understand the position you have presented and want to see real steps that will ultimately help realize the aspirations of the people of Sudan." The IGAD delegation also met with the head of the UN Integrated Transition Assistance Mission in Sudan, Volker Perthes, and representatives of the European Union and the Troika countries in Sudan. The executive secretary says the delegation will report to the IGAD head of states during the African Union summit later this month in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Pro-democracy protesters reject the October 25th military takeover and demand the establishment of a civilian-led government. Activists have continued to organize demonstrations against military rule despite the use of force by the military and police. The Sudanese Doctors Association says nearly 80 protesters have been killed and over 2,000 injured since the military takeover. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Authorities in Jonglei State say thousands of civilians displaced by recent intercommunal violence in Bor County are in dire need of humanitarian assistance. The chairman of the government-owned Relief and Rehabilitation Commission says about 7,000 internal displaced persons need food, medicine, and shelter. Deng Gaideng reports for VOA from Bor.
At least 32 people, including women and children, were killed and two dozens of others were injured after a group of armed young men, believed to be from the neighboring Greater Pibor administrative area, attacked Bor County more than a week ago. South Sudan in Focus called Matthew Hollingworth, the UN humanitarian coordinator in South Sudan, for comments, but he did not answer. An officer with the UN Humanitarian Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in South Sudan later spoke on condition of anonymity and said humanitarian agencies are working to provide some help to families displaced in the village of Baidit. Bor County Commissioner Yoda Lirook says hundreds of families who were displaced from the area have sought refuge in nearby villages while others came to Bor Town. He says the displaced are in desperate need of humanitarian assistance.
The vulnerable people, the women and the young kids, children and all that, they have moved to Bor Town and they are here to find a place to settle. But their condition is really bad. They don't have houses, they don't have tents, they don't have mosquito nets. You name it, all the necessities in the house or in the that are suitable for a living place, they are not there.
The commissioner says the attackers allegedly torched the village and looted a health facility in the area. Oak is calling on non-governmental organizations and well-wishers to support the hundreds of displaced people.
I'm appealing to humanitarians to take a lead and try to visit them and provide some assistance so that they can settle before they go back to their original village.
Tor Majuk, the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission chairman in Jonglei State, says his office has registered about 7,000 internally displaced persons who need help.
The assessment team identify food aid and then emergency shelter, which is non-food items, were of the high need, and then the health interventions. And protection and psychosocial support as priority needed by the affected people.
Majuk says the state authorities and the World Food Program have provided the IDPs with food items during a recent visit to the area. But he says the WFP assistance is not enough. Majuk is calling on humanitarian agencies to provide more food, shelter and medicine. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
Mask mandates and regular rapid antigen tests are part of COVID-19 safe plans for the start of Tuesday of the new school year in Australia's most populous state, New South Wales, where thousands of South Sudanese have resettled. Thousands of daily coronavirus infections and dozens of deaths are being reported in Australia, but authorities say it's safe for classes to resume. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Schools in Australia were closed for long periods during the first 2 years of the pandemic. In New South Wales, children and teachers will be screened for COVID-19 twice a week under a plan to keep schools open. Older students and staff must also wear masks. State Premier Dominic Perrottet has conceded that there will be bumps along the way. New South Wales Education Minister Sarah Mitchell on Tuesday had this message of support for students on the first day of term.
It's a hard time living in the middle of a global pandemic, but we are all here to support you. And every single one of those people that I spoke about, your families, your teachers, your principals, we are all doing this to support you and your education. So good luck for the school year. It's an exciting time, first day, and we can't wait to see all the amazing things that you achieve in 2022.
Similar mask mandates and surveillance testing for COVID-19 apply in the state of Victoria, but the rules vary across the country. Parents in Queensland, Tasmania and South Australia aren't required to regularly test their children, but officials have said that students and staff shouldn't attend school if they're unwell or have coronavirus symptoms. The start of term in Queensland has been delayed by 2 weeks to avoid the predicted peak of the Omicron wave and to allow more time for students to receive their vaccinations. Classes are scheduled to resume on February 7. A study published in late January in the Medical Journal of Australia shows how the pandemic has affected children's mental and physical health. Researchers from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute and the University of Melbourne warned that children were facing a generation-defining disruption because of lockdowns and school closures over the past 2 years. Australia has recorded 2.1 million coronavirus cases since the pandemic began, according to government data. 3,758 people have died. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a pastoralist getting COVID-19 vaccines in Africa. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what puts a smile on your face?
I have a group called Lishi. It's a group full of young children. So when I dance with them, it puts a smile on my face. Makes me happy.
What puts a smile on my face is good food and good people.
Okay, when I see good food and good friends around, well, I smile.
My husband, too, puts a smile on my face. He cracks jokes. He likes cracking jokes, and that makes me happy.
One thing that puts a smile on my face is to see somebody who has been in trouble or who has had great challenges, and then he has broken through, his life is better. Their lives have improved, their marriages, their business. It brings joy to my heart to see people becoming better.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. And in our Tuesday Health segment, we look at pastoralists in Kenya. While Kenya has seen the percentage of people fully vaccinated against coronavirus gradually increasing to 19%, some people, like nomadic herders, have been hard to reach. So, Kenyan authorities offered an incentive. Herders who get vaccinated can also get routine vaccinations and medicine for their livestock. For VOA News, Brenda Molinya reports from Isiolo, Kenya.
Achom Ekeno is a herder in Isiolo, Kenya. Like thousands in this community, he does not believe COVID-19 is a threat or that he needs to get vaccinated. He says, we don't know about this disease or its medicine. All we know, he says, is that it attacks people who appear fat and healthy. It is a disease for the rich, but for us, we don't believe in it and we won't take the vaccines. Health officials say Isiolo's vaccination rate was just 7% at the beginning of 2022 and that many other communities also have low rates. Local leaders and the Minister of Health attribute reluctance to get the vaccine to misinformation, religious and cultural factors and illiteracy. Ahmed Set is a religious leader in Isiolo.
People are misinformed that if you take the vaccine, you will die after 2 years. And the vaccine is there to reduce the population of the black people. The vaccine is there so that people don't live long. And some of those things make people to be scared of taking the vaccine.
Kenya aims to vaccinate 60% of its 55 million people by the end of 2022. Authorities say about 11 million people have been vaccinated by the end of 2021. While the country is making progress, the head of Kenya's COVID-19 task force, Dr. Willis Hahwale, says vaccines are going to waste because too many people are still reluctant to get the jab.
The main cause of wastage is lack of people showing up to take the vaccine. So the only solution to reduce wastage is strong social mobilization.
In the counties of Isiolo, Marsabit, and Moyale, officials offered people in pastoral communities a COVID-19 vaccination and medicines and vaccines for their livestock. Geoffrey Omoding is Isiolo County's COVID-19 response team chair.
It is working very well. And, you know, they are not assisting on their livestock. We are telling them, why do you value your livestock more than your own life? Mm-hmm. Let the livestock get their treatment, then you also do it. Mm-hmm. We follow them where they are. You know, our people here that are pastoralists, so they move with livestock.
The program is currently on pause due to a shortage of animal vaccines and medicines. The Isiolo County Veterinary Department says it will resume the program when the inventory is restocked. Brenda Molinya, for VOA News, Nairobi, Kenya.
Rescue efforts continued across southeastern Africa Monday for thousands of people cut off by flooding from last week's tropical storm Anna. The storm killed at least 90 people across Madagascar, Mozambique, and Malawi. Experts say a fresh cyclone forming near the island nation of Mauritius could hamper rescue efforts and worsen damage in the region. Lamek Masina reports for VOA from Blantyre.
The storm damaged public infrastructures, including healthcare facilities and roads, and interrupted healthcare delivery to people affected by the storm. The Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the storm killed 20 people in Mozambique and displaced 121,000 others. In Madagascar, according to the Africa CDC, 48 people were killed and 148,000 others left homeless. In Malawi, the Department of Disaster Management Affairs says Tropical Storm Anna killed 32 people and displaced 188,000 from their homes across 17 districts. Chibiriro Kamula is the department's spokesperson.
For Chikwawa alone, a total of 44 camps have been set to accommodate the displaced. But the figures might rise because the council is still conducting some assessment, and the general public will be updated on any development.
On Thursday, President Lazarus Chakwera declared a national disaster in areas hard hit by Tropical Storm Anna and called for urgent assistance to the flood victims. In a statement Sunday, the Department of Disaster Management said relief assistance is reaching some areas, although efforts to access others are hampered by impassable roads. The countries affected by Tropical Storm Anna are concerned by reports of a fresh tropical cyclone known as Batsirai is forming near the island nation of Mauritius. However, weather experts in the region have downplayed those fears. Yobu Kachiwanda is the spokesperson for the Malawi's Department of Meteorological Services. He says Tropical Cyclone Batsirai is currently still in the Indian Ocean, east of Madagascar.
And at this stage, of course, the track is not very certain. So more of its possible track will be determined in the next few days. But otherwise, for now, no threat to Maui weather. But it is there be any possible of threat to Maui weather, the Malawians will actually be informed accordingly.
If it does approach Malawi, he advises people in flood-prone areas to take heed of any warnings from weather experts and officials.
If they are saying to high ground, they should act immediately because these threats are there as climate change is with us.
President Chakwera offered similar advice Monday when he visited flood victims in the Chikwawa and Nsanje districts in southern Malawi. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Mali has long been known for its music, dance, and cultural festivals. Despite an ongoing insurgency that has halted tourism, two military coups since 2020, and delay in elections led West African nations to impose economic sanctions against Mali, which Europe has supported. But as the festival season kicks off, participants and organizers are still finding reasons to sing and dance. Anne Reisenbach reports from Bamako, Mali.
Veronique Jainan Lou is an interpretive dancer from Ivory Coast living in Niger. Lou was invited to Mali's Fardi Foni Wati dance festival this year, arriving by bus on January 9th. That same day, the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, imposed travel and economic sanctions on Mali, closing land and air borders between Mali and its West African neighbors. Lou is unsure of how exactly she will get home to Niger. In the meantime, she performed as part of a group dance piece in an auditorium at the Blamba Cultural Center, packed with adults and neighborhood children alike. She says she found a festive atmosphere in the country, despite the sanctions. People aren't even worried about that, she says. The government, they work for themselves, and we the artists, we are doing our thing. We are just one voice. We're the voice of the people. We don't know when all of these problems will be solved, so we are doing our activities, and we continue our party. Before the 2012 takeover of northern Mali by Islamist militants, the country was known for its cultural festivals, which were a frequent attraction for tourists. But these festivals have always been popular with Malians, and even though tourism has nearly ground to a halt, the festivals have, for the most part, continued. New festivals have popped up in the years since unrest began. The Ogobanya Festival is a week-long Dogon cultural festival held on the Niger riverbank in Bamako in its seventh year. Amasago Dunyon is the president of the organizing committee of the festival, which he hopes can be a place for people to unwind. There has been this embargo, he says. There has been worry of what will we do tomorrow. Culture is a neutral means of expression. No one is afraid to come here because it's a place of culture, a place of exchange, a place of dialogue. And this is the best kind of place for people to gather, to talk, and to de-stress. The Fardi Foni Wati Festival depends on participants who come from other countries in the West African region, as well as Europe, to perform original dance pieces alongside Malian performers. Drisa Samake, the managing director of the Blamba Center, says that even though many participants could not make it to Bamako this year because of the travel embargo, calling off the festival was never an option. He says that it's during times when the country is facing crises that it's even more important to hold these cultural activities.
ne peut réunir autant de monde.
He says nothing can unite so many people during this period, like these cultural events. It's important to us to strengthen this sector that allows us to create what we call social cohesion. The festival on the Niger will be held next weekend in Segu, Mali, and Festival Agna in Kulikoro takes place later in February. Both will bring together musicians from around the country. How Mali's current political situation will progress remains to be seen, but music and dancing is sure to continue. Annie Reisenberg for VOA News, Bamako, Mali.
Today, join me in wishing VOA a happy birthday. That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now end the show with Ras Kobi and the song Jamila. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap and practice social distancing. Wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Menzaman, Kubal Kawajat, Kumundo Kurat Macha, Fichono Sudan, Marina Kangaidi, Kwe Singhi. Oh, Menzaman, Kubal Kawajat, Kumundo Kurat Macha, Fichono Sudan, Marina Kangaidi, Hilo Winghi. Oh, Malakin, Fuman Jaragalu, Al Junubi, Mount Sakafi.
Mahindu Hakuma.